Lee Strasberg trained many generations of stars of theater and film, including Anne Bancroft, James Dean, Dustin Hoffman, Marilyn Monroe, Paul Newman, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, just to name a few. Strasberg is perhaps best known as the father of the method, or method acting, an acting technique he taught at the Actors Studio and at the Lee Strasberg Theater and Film Institute in New York City and in Hollywood. Lola Cohen, a former student who has been a teacher at the Strasberg Institute, recently compiled some of Strasberg's teachings and philosophies into a new guide for aspiring actors. The book is called The Lee Strasberg Notes. It features a preface by his wife, Anna Strasberg, and it's published by Routledge. I'm very pleased to welcome Lola Cohen and Anna Strasberg to our show today. Hi.
Wonderful to be here.
Now, before we begin, I just wonder, can an actor learn acting by reading a book?
No. It can clarify things. You know, an actor comes to you with talent. Lee didn't give them talent. He demanded it from them, but he didn't give it to them. And you know, you teach them an aesthetic, a discipline. But, you know, it all comes from them. They have in them. We don't teach them anything they don't already know. And Lola will tell you, because she also teaches, you know, we teach them a series of exercises that are homework. They're not performances.
We train the imagination, the senses, and the emotions to be able to create reality at will. And we practice relaxation and sense memory exercises that incite the actor, that inspire the actor. Lee's work is based on the amazing great Russian Konstantin Stanislavsky, who first questioned what is inspiration and how can we evoke the creative mood or spirit. And that's what we tried to do at the Institute.
The exercises, the senses, the five senses that keeps everything we are in it, you know, the sense of you hear a piece of music and you say, oh, all day long it's with you, and you say, why is that with me? And then suddenly you say, oh, yeah, my father used to sing that song or play that in the house, or you smell cooking, food. When you say, my grandmother made that. And so they really called affective memories. They activate the senses. And all it really does is asks you to get to acknowledge and to go back and know yourself, you know, and introduce yourself to yourself.
Well, how much of this was Stanislavsky and how much of it was Lee Strasberg?
You want to answer sure that? Or I can tell you, but you answer.
Well, before Lee passed away, in 1982, for the last 7 years, Anna had the foresight and the stamina and the will to maintain an archive, and she set up a video camera in the class. I was one of the students, and I was also taking the videotapes.
Were you one of the lucky students? Because not everybody could be in his class.
Oh, you know, if Lee had his way, they would be. He loved actors. He would teach one person as he would teach 1,300, and I've seen him do it. So, but it's, you know, he didn't mind people coming, and he'd say this is a place to invite talent in, not to shut it out.
And you write in the introduction, Lola, although he worked as a director and an actor, Lee Strasberg was first and foremost a teacher.
Yes.
But I want to get back to my question, because I interrupted you.
No, sorry.
And I was asking how much of this is Stanislavsky and how much of it is Strasberg.
You cannot separate the two. There would be no Lee Strasberg if there wasn't a Konstantin Stanislavsky.
And then Stanislavsky would not have been as well. I mean, the Russians called him the American Stanislavsky and invited him to teach at the Moscow Art Theater. What Lee added were exercises that in addition to what it was, and it was known as the system, where Stanislavsky said, you know, the emotional memory doesn't work. And Lee said, he's right. It doesn't work because the actor, you cannot go straight to an emotional memory and say, okay, work, body, work. You know, mm-hmm. Body says, leave me alone. I cried about that already. I'm not doing it anymore.
Remember when your mother died, yes. and you'll cry. And that doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And you don't have to line up that. If that's the plot in the play, you know, my mother died and I need to cry. Crying is not the sum total of acting. It's the top layer. It's frustration. You have to go beneath it to see what causes that. And you could use anything you want.
Now, I associate the method, Stanislavski and Lee Strasberg approach, as being realistic. An approach to realism in theater, trying to get away from as much artificiality as possible. I remember reading that Chekhov had written a play that had been a failure, and then it was restaged by Stanislavski, and suddenly it became The Seagull, which is one of the greatest plays of all time. But he thought Chekhov was thinking of quitting writing plays. Absolutely. Because it had been such a bomb until Stanislavski showed people what it really was.
Well, Lee considered himself a poetic realist. And if I could just read this preamble, I call the preamble of the book. This is Lee's words. The method is an amalgam of the work of Stanislavski, Vakhtangov, Meyerhold, and the group theater. Observing and analyzing their work is essential in forming a practical comprehension of the theoretical approach of our work, the training, and its use in diverse forms of production. People would be mistaken if they looked to any of these sources as independently embodying the method. For example, Vakhtangov believed the audience should be made aware that they were in the audience. In the group theater, we believe that the audience can forget where they are and be transported to the imaginary place of the play, a place that doesn't have to be purely realistic. It has to be a place spiritually, physically, and emotionally on a deeper, higher, more intense level of reality where emotions are revived for the purpose of art.
My guests are Lola Cohn, who teaches at the Strasberg Institute, Anna Strasberg, Lee Strasberg's widow. We're talking about a book called The Lee Strasberg Notes, which is published by Routledge. And it also includes some things from other writers, from other actors. Anyway, Martin Sheen wrote that he wanted to attend the Actors Studio because James Dean did. And I assume that there were an awful lot of actors who came to the studio because somebody they wanted a piece of what somebody they admired had.
Well, a lot of them came, too, to say, oh, he's good. They haven't seen me yet. I'll show them. And I love that. I love that, it, you know, because it takes a lot of courage to be an actor.
How did this whole thing start? How did the Actors Studio start?
Well, Kazan started the Actors Studio or the Strasberg Institute, because they're two different.
We should really differentiate.
Well, okay, when did the teaching start? When did Lee Strasberg
start teaching?
Start teaching and decide that he had an insight into teaching that others hadn't had.
I think after he studied with Stanislavski's actors who stayed there.
Boleslavsky and Ospenskaya.
Yeah, he introduced me to Ospenskaya via a movie. He was watching a movie and he was crying. And I said, Lee, what's the matter? And
An Affair to Remember.
An Affair to Remember. And I said, why are you crying? And he says, I want you to meet my teacher. She played the grandmother. And he was so moved by her. And, you know, it's the inspiration. And he began to study. I must emphasize, though, for anybody who's listening, Lee was a poor boy from the Lower East Side, like so many, almost all of the immigrants who brought nothing with them but their culture. They brought the things they knew and enriched a very young country with its own identity. And that's really important to know.
So did the exercises, were they there from the start, or is this something
Lee designed the exercises? He built on the work of Stanislavski and his ideas. But Stanislavski, for instance, never used the term personal object. That's an exercise that we use where we pick an object that's connected to an event or a person that's impacted us, a loaded event. He used the term objects in air. And Lee emphasized relaxation, where we, for the first 2 hours of a four-hour class, we work on ourselves and the instrument, not on the scene. We don't go directly towards the scene. We work on our own personal habits.
So how did that work, the exercise of relaxing in a chair, for example?
Well, you know, there are two kinds of relaxation. There's relaxation for stress, which has nothing to do with the actor. It's the relaxation for tensions, which are impulses with no place for expression. So it's an active relaxation. And then you begin to know what it is. If you do this, if you hunch your shoulders, you're closing off expression so that you begin to, it's like bellows, you know, your lungs, and you open it up so that the sound at the same time that the sound comes out and you speak the playwright's words, there is also your own emotional connection with them that will also come up simultaneously.
And Lee was influenced by Pavlov and Wilhelm Reich and Freud and Jung. And so the modern psychologist plays a big part in our work. And in terms of armoring and habits and how habits mask the truth of expression, and that actors must eliminate their own physical and emotional habits to express the truth.
But I think somebody did it. Sorry. I think somebody did it before Freud and all those people, and that was William Shakespeare.
Well, Shakespeare did. Yeah, actors always tell me, you just say the lines as Shakespeare wrote them, and you can't go wrong.
He was an actor. He loved actors, and he understood the subtext.
There's a wonderful section
in the
book.
And he said, speak the speech I pray as I pronounced it to you. And if you're going to put all this antic disposition on, I'm going to have the town crier.
But I can't imagine Shakespeare saying, okay, we're going to do this little exercise in which you imagine having a breakfast drink or shaving.
But he did. Not shaving, but he did in Richard in Henry V. He says, now entertain conjecture of a time. And he asks the audience to imagine. He asks the audience to be part, that this little place is a big, you know, is a battlefield. If you read those choruses, they're brilliant, and they're brilliant classes for young actors, I think.
You took the classes and you also taped some of them?
Yes,
all of them. Hundreds and hundreds of hours. Took me 10 years to complete the book.
But you know, there should be a documentary film.
You know, I was so in love with him, and I didn't want to miss anything about him. But as a wife, that was one thing. And I also was a mother, and we had two little boys. And what was in Lee's head was so exciting and so brilliant. I would watch actors fall in love with him. I would sit in an auditorium, and he would be speaking, and I could see it happening.
I must admit there's another side to this, what happens with audiences. I interviewed Meryl Streep once, and I talked to her about an incredible piece of business she had done when she was young and at the public theater, where she was a very nervous character, and she took this cough drop out of her pocket and unwrapped the cellophane, and I just felt the tension in the character. And she said, oh, I remember that. I was worried about having a sore throat, and I thought that it would be best to put a lozenge in my mouth. She was not thinking of it as a piece of business. She was thinking of it as, I better not get a raspy throat here.
Well, that's exactly the work. There are actors who do it. Because once you're working, all of the exercises, they're homework. By the time you are in front of the public and in an audience, you know that character very well, and the work is only if you're in trouble.
Now, why do you think the method has been so controversial over the years? There have been people like Laurence Olivier who have been critical. Other actors have told me, Ben Kingsley once told me, well, I use it when that helps me work on the character. I use other techniques when that helps me get to the character. They're all valuable to an actor.
Well,
but
Lee said they're doing the method. They just don't know it.
But also, too, you can do, he says, whatever works.
Exactly.
And I have never, in all the years I've been with him, and believe me, night and day, I wouldn't let him out of my sight. he never said this is the only way to work. I remember
that's Meryl, why different productions of the same play are different, right, but equally effective.
Exactly. You know, you go with what is strongest in you. Sometimes things come very easily to a certain actor, but other times you're really going to need, you know, to have that aesthetic in there saying, you know, at this point I'm going to need heavy artillery. Or,
and if you're cast because the director feels you have the qualities of the character, do nothing.
Well, what were some of his thoughts on creating a character in a performance?
You start with the playwright.
Mm-hmm. The playwright, trust the words first.
The playwright or the film, they trust you. They trust you, the actor, with something, their creativity, something really, really precious and important to them. Because they work very hard on creating that reality. And you are given this play, and you are given information that the character cannot possibly have. So therefore, you have to say, what is it? How can I reveal a little piece of this character's soul? You know, because he's written it. You then give it breath.
We use our own personal experiences, our own truths, emotions, to live on the stage under these imaginary circumstances.
Well, in some cases, we're playing people who are totally different,
right,
from us.
Well, we have wonderful...
That's not our own.
Although I'm very good at serial killers.
What it is we have observed in life. I mean, you know, somebody plays a murderer, they're not going to go out and kill to have that experience, for goodness sake.
But you've wanted to kill someone.
No, but if you are, if there is...
Only
under
one or two bosses over the years.
If you're under certain circumstances, you say, that person, I could absolutely... I saw a man beating a dog. Smoke came out of my ears. I jumped out and said, fight with me, you cop, in the middle of New York. What was I, crazy? But I didn't think. And
we have another exercise, a wonderful exercise called the animal exercise, where we take on the qualities of the animal and we create a completely different character. We physicalize it.
No, but you pick the one thing of that animal that you need.
Exactly.
You're not going to do the whole animal.
No, and
we have very little time, but I just want to ask you one more question. He retired from acting many years ago. I think in 29 or so, and then he returned and received an Oscar nomination for The Godfather 2. Had he missed acting, do you think, all those years?
Had he what?
Missed acting, or?
I think he saw it as a... Lee had to learn something every day, and I think he saw it, as an opportunity to learn more about what of this craft. And he loved working with Francis Coppola, I have to tell you.
The Lee Strasberg Notes are edited by Lola Cohen. And thank you so much for being here to talk about this book published by Routledge. Also with us, Anna Strasberg. It's been a great honor.
Thank you.